Growing up, most of us learn Christmas is a time of joy, of family, of celebration. The day-to-day schedules of life are suspended, and we can enjoy others, sing and eat together, relax, play. But even as little kids, the magic of Christmas starts to be tarnished by the story the world tells us. A story about more. We know the story of the Advent season is supposed to be about the best gift, Jesus. But it just feels like it's about all the other gifts. Gifts to purchase, parties to plan, pictures to post. And all those things are good, but they're just a shadow of what God gave. This year, let's choose to make our Advent different. Let's remember that Advent means arrival. It's a season celebrated by the church around the globe of expectant waiting, hopeful anticipation, and joyful preparation for Christ's entry into our world. We remember the longing of Israel for a Messiah and our own need of forgiveness, salvation, and a new beginning. The real story of Christmas isn't about Amazon Prime or the perfect selfie. It's about our Savior and the moment He entered our world to make things right. And that changes everything.
Advent, season of Advent. Many of us grew up in homes that celebrated Advent, and some of us in our homes use these kinds of calendars, Advent calendars. In your home, if you used an Advent calendar, raise your hand if you had one of these. So we use these for our kids, and so the one we had little doors, and you open up, like December 1st, you open it, a little saying, December 2nd. And our kids, they're grown adults now, you know, in their late 30s. Our kids, when they'd open up, it would just build excitement. Just build excitement in our home. Waiting to December the 25th. When the kids that grew up in my house longed for the arrival of Christ? No, not fooling you guys. No, they longed for stuff, basically. More stuff, to get stuff on Christmas Day. Now, they grew up in my house, so like, you know, I taught them what Advent is about. I taught them the true meaning of Christmas. But you guys, we live in a culture that's all about, you know, stuff. And we, as Christ followers, it's kind of like we live in these two different worlds, basically. All like week long, you know, it's constantly about, you know, can we get the best deal? Can we find a parking place? You know, all the pressure that goes with this time of year, we get all this kind of pressure on us, Amazon Prime and all that kind of stuff. And then we come to church, Jesus. Remember, it's about Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Outside of church, it's like, oh my gosh, and back in church, Jesus. Remember, Jesus. And so you like feel, oh, that's right, it's about Jesus. We're smart people, we know that. But it's just so easy to get pulled into. So that's why at Blackhawk Church, we have conspired. We're part of a conspiracy. And this is a conspiracy with hundreds, if not thousands of churches around the country. It's called Advent Conspiracy, and we launched this a few weeks ago. So the idea of Advent Conspiracy is that you conspire with your little family. So you go towards intentional conversations with your children as they're in a world that's all about stuff and all kinds of things at Christmas. And you say, you know what? This is what Advent is really all about. We need to be giving, but God gave His Son, and we want to be giving to people who need it. So Advent Conspiracy is an opportunity for you to donate money. Comes to Blackhawk Church, but not one penny of that money stays here. That money all goes outside of the walls of the Blackhawk Church to all kinds of different organizations. Here's a list of a few. And what you can do is to go to our website, and the Advent Conspiracy part, you'll find it on our website. It's easy to find. And go to one of these different organizations. Then we have links to like their different the videos, because these are all outside of Blackhawk Church. So like go to Call of Hope US and look at what's the GOAT Project? Watch that with your kids, you guys. Oh my gosh, it's a very creative way for Christ followers to share the gospel with Islamic people in Africa. Very creative. So you do that with your family. Or maybe you go look at the Bunker Labs, Wisconsin. So that's about helping returning vets and stuff like that. Go to that. Look at that. Watch that. Every one of these, you guys, has Just Bakery, unbelievable organization here in Madison. Go to that, watch that. And that can help you as you lead your family or in your life group or with your friends to kind of refocus. All of this is in our website. As we are trying to conspire with other people to go, no, 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 it's not just about stuff. We know that. But what's practically helpful for us to focus on the true meaning of Advent? So this is the first Sunday of Advent. What is Advent? Advent is an English transliteration of a Latin phrase, and it comes from this Latin Adventus, which means arrival or coming. Full name of the church season is Adventus Redemptoris, coming of the Redeemer. Why don't we say that Latin phrase together out loud? Adventus Redemptoris. Now, half of you didn't participate. Come on, come on. Say this with me. This is Latin, you guys. Isn't this cool? Adventus Redemptoris. One more time. Adventus Redemptoris, coming of the Redeemer, the arrival of the Redeemer. Hey, you want to freak your friends out when they say, hey, what's December all about? Instead of saying Christmas, go, oh, it's actually about Adventus Redemptoris. Advent was a celebration that's invented by the church. It has nothing in the Bible about Advent. Nothing in the Bible about that. So there's nothing in the Bible about Christmas either. Nothing in the Bible about Easter, by the way. So these are important things, but the church learned to celebrate real true things that happen, the birth of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, by creating these what we call holy days, these holidays. And about, the historians tell us, about 4 or 5 centuries after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the church in what we now call France and Spain started to celebrate Adventus Redemptoris. But it was the first Advent, or the arrival, they were focusing on the arrival of the Magi, or the kings, the wise men, to the manger scene. That happens on, they call Epiphany, which in our calendar is January the 6th, 12 days after Christmas. But then about a century later, or so about the 6th century AD, Christ followers in Rome said, now we really should be focusing on the arrival of Christ himself and what that is going to be like. Because the Christ followers in Rome in the 600s, they were wanting to focus on not the first coming of Christ, but on the second coming of Christ, as they looked forward to the arrival of Christ. And Christ followers said, well, let's do both. Let's look back and let's look forward. One of the customs at Advent is to have an Advent wreath, and at all sites and venues we have an Advent wreath, the green of the wreath represents life, and then the circle represents eternity. And then there are 5 candles of various colors. The purple candles represent the royalty of Christ. The white candle represents the holiness of Christ, and that's called the Christ candle. We light that on Christmas Day. And this rose one, it represents joy. The themes of Advent are hope, and then peace and joy and love. These are ancient themes that go back years and years and years. Later on in the service, in all services and venues, we'll light one of the purple candles, which represents the theme of today's talk, and that is hope. What is the biblical concept of hope as it revolves around Advent? It's more than having a positive attitude. Watch this.
So let's say you want to describe the feeling of anticipating a future that's better than the present. You might be giddy or excited or maybe unsure, but most of us know that experience. We call it hope. It's a state of anticipation, and it's crucial for healthy human existence. And it's a really important concept in the Bible. In fact, there are many words for hope in the ancient languages of the Bible, and they're all fascinating. In the Old Testament, there are 2 main Hebrew words translated as hope. The first is yachal, which means simply to wait for. Like in the story of Noah and the Ark, as the floodwaters recede, Noah had to yachal for weeks. The other Hebrew word is kava, which also means to wait. It's related to the Hebrew word kav, which means cord. When you pull a kav tight, you produce a state of tension until there's release. That's kava, the feeling of tension and expectation while you wait for something to happen. The prophet Isaiah depicts God as a farmer who plants vines and kavahs for good grapes. Or the prophet Micah talks about farmers who both kavah and yachal for morning dew to give moisture to the land. So in biblical Hebrew, hope is about waiting or expectation. But waiting for what? In the period of Israel's prophets, as the nation was sinking into self-destruction, Isaiah said, "At this moment, the Lord's hiding his face from Israel, so I will kavah for him." The only hope Isaiah had in those dark days was the hope for God himself. You find the same notion of hope all over the book of Psalms, where these words appear over 40 times. In almost every case, what people are waiting for is God. Like in Psalm 130, the poet cries out from a pit of despair, "I kavah for the Lord, let Israel yachal for the Lord, because he's loyal and will redeem Israel from its sins." Biblical hope is based on a person, which makes it different from optimism. Optimism is about choosing to see, in any situation, how circumstances could work out for the best. But biblical hope is not focused on circumstances. In fact, hopeful people in the Bible often recognize there's no evidence things will get better, but you choose hope anyway. Like the prophet Hosea, he lived in a dark time when Israel was being oppressed by foreign empires, and he chose hope when he said God could turn this valley of trouble into a door of hope, like the day when Israel came up from the land of Egypt. God had surprised his people with redemption back in the days of the Exodus, and he could do so again. So it's God's past faithfulness that motivates hope for the future. You look forward by looking backward, trusting in nothing other than God's character. It's like the poet of Psalm 39 who says, "And now, O Lord, what else can I kavah for? You are my yachal."
Many of you recognize the voice of Tim Mackey. He used to be on our staff here at Black Hawk Church, so he runs the Bible Project now. And this is something else that you can do in your homes. You can go to the Bible Project, and Tim has created a kind of a word study for each one of the words of Advent, for hope, peace, joy, and love. You can go to his website and find more about that. I stopped the video just with those two Old Testament words. The New Testament word for hope is elpis. And when the New Testament believers put their hope in Christ, they were putting their hope in Christ as someone who would come again and fulfill all of the promises of God. That's what we're going to talk about today. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, as you're turning there, let me remind you also of something that our adult ministries team has put together, and that helps us also in Advent. Our adult ministries team has put together a reading plan for us. One of the passages that we're going to be talking about today is in this reading plan. The reading plan started yesterday on December the 1st. There are also a number of exercises that you can do then with your family. We're trying to equip you to get through this season, so it's not just all about stuff, but it's also about Christ. This reading plan is easy to find on YouVersion. Go to our website and you can easily find it. My wife and I found it. We're two old people. We found it in like 30 seconds and we put it on our phone and we listened to it when we were driving to Target yesterday. And I don't know what you think the pastor and his wife talk about when they drive to Target, but it's not normally Matthew 24. But because of this, it was very simple reading, and then we found ourselves waiting at a stoplight, not just for it to turn green, but for the return of Christ, actually, as we were in deep conversation. So that's what we're talking about. So you do tools like this, you do things like this, and you insert them into your life. It makes it very practical. One of the passages we'll talk about today was a passage they read yesterday, but this passage in 2 Corinthians is not. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. What did the New Testament believers hope for? Verse 18. "But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him It has always been, what's that word? Yes. Yes. A little louder. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Read that, the highlighted phrase right now. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Is that a sweet passage? And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Ooh. When we read a passage like that, it's easy for us to go, oh, that's really cool, that's really cool. The whole idea of yes in Christ. I mean, yes, very positive word. But it's so easy for us, living in America in 2018, to overlook what a passage like this must have meant to the people who were the original readers. They were living in a nightmare, people in Corinth. So who's ruling in Corinth? Well, it's the Romans. If you're a Jewish person in the first century, listen to this again. If you're a Jewish person in the first century, when is the last time that you had a ruler over you who was friendly to you? Let's review the history. Christ born here, zero, we'll call it zero. 2,000 years before Christ, father of three major religions was born. His name is? 500 years later, Moses is born. 1,500 years before Christ. 1,000 years before Christ, there was this great king over Israel. His name was?
David.
And David's father was? Oh, my, I don't hear anything. Because you're saying, you know, you do that all the time, but you never ask that question. Who's David's father?
Jesse.
Jesse was a great king, right?
No,
he was like a shepherd. And David was a favorite son, right? He was like the firstborn son. David was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He was the eighth born. He's the runt of the litter. It's David. Great king. David had many children. One of his sons was Solomon. Solomon died 930 years before Christ. When he died, the kingdom was split into two. In the north was Israel, and in the south was Judah. We just spent several weeks on a prophet. What was his name? Amos, who was from Judah and prophesied to the people in the north, but they paid no attention. So God used this country called Assyria to wipe them out 722 years before Christ. And then Judah paid no attention, so God uses Babylon to wipe them out 586 years before Christ. Here's the question. If you're a first century Jew, how long has it been? How long has it been since there's been anybody ruling your place that loved God and loved you? Oh, 600 years. 600 years since anybody was ruling that really cared about me and my issues. 600 years. Oh my gosh. In our country, if the person you don't like who's president reigns for 4 years, you're like, oh my gosh, what's that? Or the person before him is 8 years. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? 600 years, you guys. 600 years. And they place their hope in Christ. Where do you put your hope? That Christ would come and fulfill all the promises of God. Yeah. Because they're yes in Christ. All those promises. What promises? Well, all of them. Like this one. Look at Isaiah 11. And if you start the reading plan that was yesterday, the U version that I mentioned earlier. It would be this is one of the passages, Isaiah 11. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Who's Jesse? David's father. Who do you think the shoot is? Who do you think that is? David. How you guys doing? When I ask questions, you can participate. Are you following? Here we go. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord. Remember when it's all caps, L-O-R-D, it's really the personal name. And his name is? The Spirit of Yahweh will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of Yahweh. And he will delight in the fear of Yahweh. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, faithfulness sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den. The young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of Yahweh as the waters cover the sea. Somebody say amen. Amen. This is incredible. It's incredible. Some of you are going, oh my gosh, how can the bear do that with a lion and a kid with a cobra? And how can just stop. Prophetic poetry, you guys, back off. This is art, okay? This is prophetic poetry, okay? So this is like he's painting a picture here, you guys, of a world. This is Eden, you guys. This is a world that we cannot fathom. This is a world beyond super. This is supernatural. And everywhere you look, supernatural, 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 supernatural. Isn't that awesome? I would just love to see like one supernatural miracle, like, you know, in my lifetime. Oh, let's say you just hover a while above the earth. I'd like to see that. Awesome. Can you imagine seeing incredible supernatural, boom, 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 all the, like the water covers the sea. Everything is just filled with the knowledge of God. What are we hoping for? You know, when I think about a passage like this, my soul gets a reboot. My mind gets a reboot. This is the purpose of Advent, you guys. It's the like, what are we hoping for? I find my hopes are too small. I got a 2001 Honda that's got 195,000 miles on it. I'm hoping it gets to 200,000. Why? So I can be a proud man and tell you that it went to 200,000 miles. Duh. But I took it to the Honda doctor the other day, and I don't think it's going to get to 200,000 miles. And I'm a little upset by that. I'm thinking, you know, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. This is like my car. I hope it doesn't snow really hard on a Saturday night, because I'm the top of the food chain around here and I have to make the call whether we cancel church or not. I just hope that doesn't happen. Let it snow on Sunday night. My health is pretty good, and I hope my health continues to get good, because I've got a grandson who's almost two, and I hope to take him to heaven someday, Wrigley Field, and so that we can watch the Cubs just kill someone. And there's a problem with this, because his parents are Brewer fans, and I'm trying to move him away from the influence of his parents. I'm hoping for that. What are you hoping for? You're hoping to pass a test? You're hoping to get into a certain school? You're hoping to get a promotion? You're hoping to find just the right gift? Are you hoping to have just the right meal? You're hoping that all of your connections are going to be right as you travel? Are you hoping to find a parking place in the mall? I find that our hopes are too small. And passages like this cause me to reboot, to rethink. Am I hoping for this? And when you're driving in your car and you're listening to the passages like this on your way to Target, and when you sit down with your family, it's time to eat, and you listen to or you read through one of these passages, and you start to have your conversation, you find that it's not that hard to move from a world of consumerism to the world where the Holy Spirit wants us to have conversations about those things which are eternal. Isn't that hard, you guys? You can do it. And to have a conversation about what the world's going to be like. Yeah. Here, look at Isaiah 11:9. Here it is. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Where everywhere you look, everyone knows the Lord. Everything is affected by the Lord. It's just righteousness everywhere. Righteousness there, justice there, love there, mercy there, grace there. It's like everywhere. Our vacation was in Florida. I took this picture, sunset in Naples. And I knew I was doing this talk. And I knew what Isaiah 11 said. And I would sit on that beach and I would look at the waters covering as far as you can see. As far as you can see. Water covers the sea. Can you imagine, you guys? Imagine a world where everywhere you look, righteousness, peace, and justice by the power of God. One of the things I love about this time of year is we sing songs that remind us of what to hope for. One of them is a very ancient song, probably about one of the oldest songs we sing, written by some unknown monk or priest in the 8th century. It's called O Come, Emmanuel. It's a great song, great words. Look at these words. O come, Emmanuel. What's Emmanuel mean? God with us. Emmanuel. And ransom captive Israel. It mourns in lowly exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show and cause us in her ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. I gotta calm down. O come, desire of nations. Bind all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease. Fill all the world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Somebody say amen. Amen. What are you hoping for? Advent is a time to reboot our desires. Let's pray. We long, Father, for a day. We long for a day
when there will be no strife, no envy. That's just hard to imagine. No lying, no cheating. Every place we turn will be joy and peace. There will be no poverty, no injustice, no tears. Nothing that would cause our hearts to mourn. We long for that. You alone are the one who can bring this. Only you. Only you. Only by your power. Forgive us when we feel like, you know, we can do. It's only you. And we wait. Help us to live according to the way in which you want us to live. Help us to be your people. Help us to pray the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to be people who are Advent people. Reboot our minds by the power of your Spirit. And we pray you give us hope. I pray this in Christ's name, for the sake of his reputation, all God's people said.